Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. It's time for Friday Morning GM again. After a couple month hiatus, I'm back with co-host Vas Larikos. Vas, how are you doing?
Doing great, Ken. Good to be back with you. Nice little reprieve for us, kind of refresh, reset our thoughts. And now we're getting ready for training camp. So time to get back in business.
So got a couple shows for you planned here. This week, we're going to talk about the cap space, some of the remaining needs for the team. Next week, maybe talk about some of the concerns. And there's a concerns series coming out on my channel. Voss will have his significant concerns, and we'll talk about those on the show next week. So the remaining cap space for the Ravens, $5.9 million right now, is currently 31st out of 32 teams. The Falcons are the only team below. That $5.9 million number is a number that they would probably normally take into a season for in-season adjustments.
At least, you know, Brian McFarland is the resident Ravens cap guru, and he oftentimes projects more than that for in-season replacement, contingency, et cetera, in-season trade potentially as well. Another number that was a little bit alarming when I just was glancing at the over-the-cap site a few moments ago, they are $3.6 million in the hole for next year, yep. According to over-the-cap. Now, that's only on a $260 million projection. I think they're probably low because that's only a $5 million bump from this year. But still, that is the eighth worst in the league. So they're up against it, as to be expected, with a cornerstone franchise quarterback and multiple cornerstone contracts littering the roster.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If you look at the rest of the division, they're actually there's a very broad spectrum. So the Steelers have $77 million of cap space next year. That is concerning, obviously, but they also don't have their quarterback. So that's a good sign. At least we hope they don't have their quarterback with their current guys on the roster. The Bengals still at $38 million. They didn't blow that. They didn't make much with that advantage this year. So I'm not too concerned about the Bengals in that sense. And the Browns, minus $42.9 million right now. So they have major cuts. They are now in the point where they will really start to have to pay for the signing of Watson.
Yeah, it was a ticket that they were going to have to pay eventually, and it does look like it's going to be next year. Just going back to the Ravens, they're going to have to make some hard decisions. There's void money. There's a lot of incentive-laden contracts that are considered not likely to be earned that could very well be earned. Ronnie Stanley's contract comes to mind. If he has a good year, that's going to impact next year's cap, and he will not be under contract. So, they might have to pull some levers here that they may not want to, that's going to impact future flexibility to get through this period right now.
Yeah, one of the good points about Stanley was he was a $20 million cut for next year, but that money's already effectively been harvested by taking the last year off his contract, reducing his salary for this year, but there are incentives that go with that, as you mentioned it. And then the other players, you know, they have to potentially cut that are the big money opportunities are all players in cornerstone seasons, but they're also some of the best players on the team currently, or we think of them as that way. Marlon Humphrey, of course. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you the individual savings per player. I'll bring that up. But what do you think about Marlon Humphrey in terms of a potential cut next year?
You know, I think Marlon has received a little bit too rough of a I think people being a little bit too hard on him this offseason. He definitely was not up to his all-pro level last year. He was injured, gave up that big play to Pickens, as we know. But some of the underlying metrics as far as separation allowed and some of those sorts, he was right up there in the top 10 of the league that I've seen floating around this offseason. But then again, when you pick a first-round corner in Wiggins, you're not going to be able to pay Wiggins, Stevens, and Humphrey at the same time, I don't believe, without making significant subtractions elsewhere. That's just too much invested at corner, especially when you also have a high paid safety. And presumably Hamilton will be one of the highest paid defensive players in the league, hypothetically, relatively soon.
Yeah, Linderbaum's contract is coming up at on a similar schedule. Obviously, they're drafted the same year, both in the first round, so they'll come due at the same time. I presume the Ravens are going to want to keep both those players. To do so is going to be very difficult, very, very difficult. Humphrey, $12.4 million of savings if they cut him for next year. So, you know, it's going to be – that'll be a tough decision. He's certainly having a crossroads year this year. Andrews is another one. Now, Andrews and Likely and Kolar, for that matter, all signed through the 2025 season. Andrews is $11 million if they cut him. So, you know, maybe even have a value there where you could trade him for a little something. I think it's usually a pipe dream to think you can do that. But the last year of Mark Andrews' contract actually is kind of a bargain for who he is. So he might have a little bit of value if he has a good year this year. If the Ravens feel like they're moving on to Likely, that might be a potential cut.
Yeah, and that's one of the interesting parts of how this roster has evolved. They're sort of clustered in certain positions. You don't necessarily want to have two top 20, top 15 tight ends on the roster at the same time, because most often there's only one on the field. We know they're leaning towards 12 personnel, maybe more now, but you don't have two high paid tight ends. That's for sure. With a franchise quarterback, you just have to, it's really hard to make the numbers work paying multiple players at the same position, big money.
Yeah. We'll get into the, I think next week, into some of the 12 personnel things with some concerns, but it's going to be very difficult for the Ravens to play a lot more 12 personnel than they have this year. You know, they could play some 13, I guess, but to play a lot more 12, they have four guys who all are serious mouths to feed at tight end right now. And it's hard to see the Ravens playing more than 2.0 snaps per of tight end, fullback, an OL6 per play, and that would put them up in the heaviest teams, the heaviest team, in fact, in recent years, other than the 22 Ravens. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're headed back there, so I really think we'll still be looking at a lot of 11 personnel, and I think we'll see not as much 12 as people think. So the notion that each of Likely and Andrews, which is one of the things I've been kind of propagating, each of Likely and Andrews could play maybe 2/3 of the snaps with 1/3 of those in overlap. I think that's going to end up being too much for both of them, meaning they can't find enough snaps for both of them to fulfill that amount of time.
I've mentioned it previously on last year, but very difficult to feature two tight ends that are producing impactfully simultaneously in the same game. It's and 12 personnel. I think it's a great. How should I put it? A great package in certain situations, but the situation that has plagued the Ravens is chasing points in the playoffs throughout the Lamar Jackson era, and 12 personnel is it takes away the variability and the deception element of 12 personnel. So I don't want to go too heavy. I'd rather be prepared for the postseason if that event does happen, where you do have to chase points.
With you on that, of course, I don't want to have all of concerns about the team be. Centered around what happens in the postseason. The Ravens have to get through the regular season. They have to make the playoffs. This team, they're not quite as good as they were last year. They're still a good football team. I think they're you know, when I look at our remaining needs, which we're going to talk about in a minute or two, I think that's pretty good. If these are your remaining needs, that's a pretty good set, because they're manageable. The cap is really the issue at this point for this team. I want to go through a few other considerations for 2025 cuts. Derrick Henry, $7 million. Obviously, if Derrick Henry gets old, he will be gone next year, and that's a $7 million savings. Marcus Williams, $5.3 million. It would change the nature of the Ravens defensively. Would probably free safety would go to the top of their draft needs if they were to have to let Marcus Williams go. But it is a possibility, particularly if he can't stay healthy this year. He's essentially guaranteed money in his third year here of the contract. Kyle Van Noy is $3.75 million, so he's signed for 2 years. Probably could go either way, whether they want to keep him or not at that price. And then two guys are going off the roster this year, Ricard and McCary, who both have about $4 million of savings this year if they were cut.
Right.
You see any chance either of those guys get cut?
At this point, I would doubt it. I think usually when they're going to make cuts, they do it in the spring to do right by the player. Really, that's really what they're doing there. But it could be. I mean, it's possible if somebody steps up and they feel like they're okay without those guys. Maybe Kolar, takes on some of that inline blocking role, or one of the UDF, Tykeem Doss all of a sudden starts playing well or something. You know, McCary, I don't know. I think McCary's probably the necessary insurance policy. Just going back to the first four you mentioned, though, Humphrey, Williams, Henry, and Andrews, it is just a bit of a prove-it year for all four of them, and they're very established Pro Bowl caliber players, all four, but it is a prove-it year in a way. Then again, it's always possible that the escalation of the salary cap bails the Ravens out of this situation. So I won't roll out that possibility either.
You know, that would be nice. It is not typical that you have consecutive years with big increases in the salary cap. So they had an outlier year in 2024 in terms of an increase in cap. That reflects obviously contracts that they have in place. Those contracts are typically multi-year deals. It may mean that they don't have enough. They don't have the same kind of momentum in terms of increase in revenue that comes out. Obviously, the game is very popular, and I don't really know at this point. But I'll hope like you. If there's an increase in cap that's similar to last year, I think it's fair to say it does benefit the Ravens more than it benefits a team like the Steelers that has $77 million in cap remaining.
Absolutely, no question about that. No question.
All right. I really like the fact that the Ravens are at like +5, +6 and -3, -4 for next year. They're playing it right at the border as opposed to way overspending. Yeah. So you're not seeing a -88 like the Saints have next year that they've got to work with.
So that's the absolute worst, because you have to end up losing players and it still doesn't give you the space to do anything with it. So the Saints, so they're going to write books about the Saints salary cap management a decade from now, what not to do.
or the Browns maybe. So we'll see if they get there. Let's talk about remaining needs for the Ravens, because we've been now gone for a couple of months. The Ravens have made a few moves, but not much that really has been done over that time. What tops your list of remaining needs?
Third safety absolutely tops my list. I think probably think it's a bigger need than most. I think it's a crucial need at this point. I saw Trey Swilling was receiving some positive press at OTAs. It's good to see. Kane, the rookie, I think he's a box safety. Brady and Tolles. Tolles also had some good moments at OTAs by the reports that I saw, but they're UDFA rookies. So I'm not even comfortable, but I would be okay with those three competing for the fourth and maybe fifth safety job. The big thing is Ardarius Washington, and I do not believe he is a safety. I don't believe he has the size to play safety as a tackler in the open field. I don't necessarily believe he has the speed to play safety. The instincts, he has good instincts, and that helps with the range, but I really see him as a slot. So when you look at the two deep of the team, that's the one my eyes just go right to safety every single time. Everywhere else, they're in pretty good shape. If an injury occurs, they can move a few things around. Safety, they're in a tough spot. And that's when you're considering Kyle Hamilton to be a back-end safety the whole time, which you don't necessarily want to do.
Yeah, exactly. So that spot, that's the critical point about it, is allows Hamilton the flexibility to play slot corner, but you need to be able to trust that guy. And they, you know, the player who's really the missing man in this, the invisible man, is Darryl Worley. And mm-hmm. I don't know what his situation is. I don't know whether he's retired. I don't know whether he and the Ravens are maybe on the outs, or there's something about an injury or whatever it might be. But I am surprised that you know, training camp is almost upon us and he has not been re-signed yet. And we saw in that very first preseason game, he knows exactly where to be. And not only that, he kind of has a very natural ability at safety, kind of a puppeteer for the young quarterbacks to get them to make a mistake. And I really appreciated seeing him in the second half of a preseason game do that. Completely out of place on the field, by the way. You know, eighth-year player on the field against the backup quarterback. They had Jeremy Lucien last year. Bo Braid is a guy who probably is the closest fit to a back end safety. He's been hurt and missed virtually the entire offseason at this point. Kane does not have the college coverage chops. I don't know why he's going to suddenly develop them, but that is one of the questions with veteran guys they could bring in. Big signing today, Jamal Adams went to Tennessee. He's a guy I definitely did not want. He's a hard hitting box safety plus pass rusher.
He's a linebacker. He's a linebacker, yeah. Is really what he is.
or duplicating a lot of what Hamilton does, if, even if you aren't using him at inside linebacker. But yeah, he would be a guy who'd come in on your dime and probably give you some good production in the dime. But it's too duplicative. Ravens can't afford to spend on another player like that. I didn't see how much he made. It's probably not that much. But the other major guy who's out there is Justin Simmons. And I at various points this offseason, I've been a little bit intrigued by Justin Simmons, but the thing that really bothers me is his yards per target have been terrible the last two years. 9.0 yards per target in 23 and 10.1 in 22.
You know, Simmons has the reputation of I just don't know how he necessarily would fit. I mean, you already have your leaders in place. He's used to being the signal caller, one of those kind of guys. And he's used to a full snap share. He's not going to have that here. A couple other names to mention, Tashawn Gibson, Micah Hyde, and Josh Johnson are all still available. But the player that I really, really want is Eddie Jackson, formerly of the Chicago Bears, out of Alabama Crimson Tide. He's still 29 years old. I think his skill set really replicates what you had with Geno Stone as far as the range and the ball skills. He was a punt returner, I believe, in college. I mean, he has the ball skills. So, and he's a guy that I believe at this stage of his career, so in the Ronald Darby mold, will be willing to accept a backup position to help try to win a championship. So that's who I would really prefer.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tap, also on them. Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At this point, Eddie Jackson
did not have a lot of targets last year, but he was not good. He allowed over 11 yards a target, so I'm hesitant on that. But let me see what he was in 22, 97 yards on 16 targets, so that was fine. The previous year, he was up close to 10 yards a target, though. Too, I got and the previous year before that, he's over 10. I got to tell you, that's the kind of thing that worries me enough that I'd probably say no on that basis. But all the other names you mentioned are all intriguing. I'll look at those. Maybe we'll talk about some of this on the next show as well in terms of the concerns, because it is one of the biggest concerns the Ravens have remaining.
Definitely.
Let's move forward to another concern. And you go ahead again, since you did well on that one, Blur.
Well, I would point the next arrow at offensive guard. Voorhees, we're optimistic. Ben Cleveland apparently had a rough go of OTAs. I don't know if that format really suits his play style. And Jones, a veteran that they brought in, I think he could end up to be a capable starter in the John Simpson mold. Saleh, I'm not too sure if he's an NFL caliber player, but it's just a lot of unknowns. And to your point earlier, it's a pretty darn good roster. When you look at the roster rankings, they're third, fourth, fifth, sixth, second sometimes. And even I always look at things from a positional value standpoint or maybe a playmaker standpoint, and maybe I have them a little bit lower, but they're still in the Super Bowl window. They really are. So it's, they don't have huge, huge needs, but I would say offensive guard be the second for me.
All right. So I think the backup IOL depth chart is very concerning to me. And by the way, I'm really not concerned about Ben Cleveland. I think he'll be the starting right guard come opening day. I think Andrew Vorhees will be the starting left guard come opening day, and they will go with those two because Josh Jones also is not the guy to do what Kevin Zeitler did, act as the glue, help with the line calls, do that kind of thing. That is now 100% squarely on Linderbaum. Mm-hmm. So he's got to hold the line together, make the calls, identify what needs to be done pre-snap, work with Lamar on what he wants specifically. So it's a big responsibility for him. It really is. And it's something I think he'll probably be up to, which is good news. It will help him to have two big men next to him. Vorhees, by the way, incredibly strong. It's not the only factor you need as a guard. He needs to have some lower body heft. He's a very vertical player, so more in the mold of a Simpson than in terms of other players at 6'6 and 3'10 or something. And you know, you can be as strong as you want, but that doesn't mean you have an anchor if your pad level is consistently too high and players are able to get underneath you and whatnot. Does not have extremely long arms, so you could potentially be at risk for that. I think I am convinced he'll be fine with the pulling aspect. So at least I'm all on board on the give Andrew Vorhees the shot and ride or die with him. I'm also all on board with the Cleveland situation. I think Jones gives you an extra backup at guard. And then after that, it's scary because Saleh is the next guy, or Fa'alele, a couple of developmental guys who, and frankly, Jones is a developmental guy too. Mm-hmm. So you really, really have to worry about that. So I'm with you on that. I'm also really concerned if anything were to happen at center. Nick Samak is the guy. He just returned from a fibula injury in OTAs. He's barely been back and would be a guy that it's a long step down. You know, having even a veteran who hasn't been that good like Sam Mustafa last year is a pretty good upgrade from having Nick Samak. But if Samak works out, hey, it could really have value. He could be a backup interior offensive lineman at all three positions. You know, Tristan Colon Castillo guy.
Sure.
That could be pretty good.
I think if, knock on wood, God forbid, if Linderbaum did miss extensive time, I'd feel more comfortable with McCary at center. I think McCary's probably better center than guard. I would opine.
Oh yeah,
just because he has the physical. But I think the Vorhees and Cleveland. I'm sorry, Ken, please.
And so let me take the other side of that argument for a minute, because I don't think McCary will jump in at center this year. I think he's too important to the Ravens as a backup tackle in a year like this, where they really don't know what they have at tackle. I mean, we think it's been bad in the past. It's really bad this year in terms of, hopefully Ronnie Stanley will be fine, but you know, you're starting a rookie at right tackle. If once that works out, you know, once they know that's okay, yeah, then they could try McCary at center if something happened with Linderbaum for two games or something. But if McCary is not available as a backup tackle, then and you're taking the risk on him being in there at center and potentially getting hurt the way that we lost Tyree Phillips, not that that was a huge loss, but lost Tyree Phillips in that Oakland game, the same game lost Ronnie Stanley.
Right. I think maybe in an ideal situation, Jones, who has graded relatively well as left tackle, could, in an apocalyptic scenario where you're replacing multiple starters, shuffling the deck there. But anyway, back to the guards. Vorhees in Cleveland, I think, will be fine as pass protectors. I think that's their pedigree, really. How good will they be opening up lanes for Derrick Henry? Because if we know Henry needs a little bit of a runway, and that big signing may not work out so well if he doesn't have that. So there's a lot riding on their ability to hit those creases and get those angles as a run blocking.
Yeah, it is one of the really big things that can make the Ravens be a very dangerous team is to have just a little bit of ability to get Derrick Henry better opportunities than he had in Tennessee last year. The big difference between him and Gus Edwards, by the way, was in exactly that first point of contact. It was half a yard further back for Henry than it was for Edwards last year. So if you're looking for excuses is the wrong word, but reasons for kind of a subpar Derrick Henry last 3 years at Tennessee, largely a function of he's getting hit a lot further back than Edwards is for the first time. And, you know, the difference of half a yard maybe doesn't seem like much, but it's means you're getting a lot more times where the first contact on you is made by a linebacker or a safety or a slot corner or whatever it might be. And those opportunities are gold for running backs. They're the ones where they can make big yardage. So
before he has that head of steam, is really so crucial for Henry. So he had a great year too. I mean, he still has a breakaway ability, but we'll see how the guards, I think, are going to, as we say a lot of times, running back is a dependent position, and it's going to depend a lot on that.
Well, so hopefully Lamar will continue to drive the run game to the kind of success the Ravens have had in recent years. We've become so spoiled and so expecting that, you know, Lamar can drive the run game under any circumstances that now facing a shock of a new offensive line, we might get our first really bad news from that. So hopefully not.
I'm optimistic. 2021 with a porous and injured offense. Was it 21? Yeah, with the porous and injured offensive line and geriatric backs, and they were still number three in rushing, I believe, if not number two that year. So, yeah, Derek, and also Henry was the focal point in the league. Not being the focal point also going to give him more opportunity. I think they're going to have a very good run game, but are they going to have a very good or are they going to have a great? It could come down to the guards.
Should open up the play action game in any case. So I think that covers a second one. I'll go to a third. Maybe we can talk about a fourth as well, but they do not have a backup. Go ahead. Sir.
Just want to say it's pretty slim pickings if you're looking for a guard at this point in the offseason. Yeah. You have Connor Williams coming off of a week 14 ACL and Greg Van Roten, who's approaching 34 years old. So those are really your two only guys still out there with Reisner signed about a month and 6 weeks ago.
They may find a guy at the end of camp that somebody else cuts that they like more, that was on their scouting radar and they didn't get him. And somebody else signed him for a UDFA. And they say, hey, look, we got a spot for you. And a player like Nick Samak, I don't think he's guaranteed a spot on the roster. So you can put him at the top of the practice squad to have him ready to play center. If he gets picked, that sucks. But also you go get somebody else. Mm-hmm. You live with it because you want the roster flexibility. Be very interested to see how that works out. A backup quarterback is my next position I want to move on to. And Ryan Tannehill is still out there. This comes back to the cap situation from earlier. I don't really see the Ravens throwing $5 to $6 million even at a backup quarterback. I don't see that as a really great investment. I think they've done very well in the Lamar era entirely with having basically a vet min quarterback.
Yeah, I think so too. You want to have that bridge quarterback in the event of a short-term Lamar injury that can keep you in the hunt. But if Lamar goes down, you're a sinking ship at that point. And it's a place to save. You save where you can when you have this kind of roster and salary cap ledger. And so I wouldn't be in favor of spending more than the vet minimum really on anybody.
Okay. Last spot is a point where a lot of people thought they were weak during the draft. They did get Adisa Isaac, but the edge position has some real question marks this year. They really need Owe to have a year at least as good as last year, and Van Noy to continue to be healthy at 34.
Yeah, outside linebacker edge was my number three. Looking at the depth chart, I am bullish on Odafe Owe. I'm also bullish on Malik Ham. It might be my sleeper pick for the year, but I think it's pretty safe to assume some regression from Kyle Van Noy, another year older, and he's also practicing and playing the entire season. He's not coming in midstream where he's fresh with fresh legs. I will believe it when I see it when Thavius Robinson becomes a pass rusher. An effective quality pass rusher. He graded very poorly as a pass rusher. Last season, Isaac, third-round rookie, missed OTAs. So that's sort of – I think they could use another place there, and that's really been DaCosta's MO, is vet pass rushers late in training camp. I think he's done it 2, 3, 4 years in a row now.
Yeah, been very effective at finding the right guy and at the right price there. And there are a lot of those guys. You know, it's a position where 31 to 34 year old guys are happy to miss training camp. It's just one of these things. Right. But they like coming in late and they like playing. You're completely right about the regression on Van Noy, a 33-year-old who puts up his career high in sacks. If that isn't a formula for regression, I don't know what is. They gave him a nice contract, effectively almost paying him for what he has done already, which is always dangerous. But he's a player, I think, who can help them. You know, one of the problems the Ravens have is they have numbers. They have too many numbers at the position. So the mystery man, the ace of spades we haven't talked about so far is David Ajabo, who – if he comes back and has a good year, the Ravens are they're okay on pass rush probably because they'll. But I think that's becoming less and less likely. Obviously, less likely than it was a year ago, and both ceiling and floor in my mind have gone down for a player like Ajabo. And so one of those two, Ajabo or Isaac, really needs to come through as a pass rusher. I'm not expecting Tavius Robinson to be the guy. I think Robinson and also Malik Harrison are two guys who give you time off for your significant edges to be more almost exclusively pass rushers. So that I think is okay. Nice benefit.
Yeah. You know, I could envision a platoon of Tavius on first down and perhaps second down, depending on down and distance. And then Ojabo is coming in for third down, but Jadeveon Clowney was one of the most valuable players on the defense last year, and it's going to be tough to replace that. You're returning your defensive line. I think you can probably project a little improvement from Travis Jones and maybe some others. Maybe even Trenton Simpson's a better blitzer than Patrick Queen. I wouldn't say that that's necessarily out of the realm of possibility, but you do need Clowney. Clowney is he did a lot last year. He really did, helping out the defensive line, getting Madubuike cleanup sacks, et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely. Those first pressures were incredibly valuable, and we need to see some more broader-based pyramids in terms of pressures from some other players this year. Owe had a good base of pressures last year for what he did in terms of sacks and hits, but Madubuike did not. And, you know, Van Noy is a guy who we need a lot of pressures from, but mostly it's these two young players, Isaac and Ajabo. Ravens are highly incented to have Isaac be the guy. So if they can get him playing early, then they've got a long runway with him as a player. David Ajabo, he's in a crossroads year. He might not make the Ravens in 2025. I mean, it's conceivable he would not make the Ravens in 2024. That's how bad this current situation is. And Malik Ham is now sitting at the seventh position on, I think, what it will be at most six players on the roster. So maybe he's on the practice squad. Maybe he's a guy and he might get taken there. Maybe he's a guy that he's one of the two IR spots on, or one of the ones the Ravens always had the ability to create, and they bring him back as a midseason replacement, expecting injuries or ineffectiveness from some of this group.
Yes, I would agree. And I wouldn't be shocked if Ham outplays Ajabo. That draft pick's a sunk cost. It's a sunk cost. So take the best players into this season, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And you need Harrison for other reasons, so he can't really go. But I think at this point, he's the backup in-game replacement. If anything happened to Roquan Smith, you'd move him to inside linebacker. Maybe you do that for two games. I wouldn't want to do it for any longer than that. But if it's longer than that, I think they end up going to the street and finding another guy, because they don't really have a guy on the roster who's got the bulk to do that.
Fortunately, that's a position where you can find guys on the street.
Yeah. Yeah. Voss, always a pleasure to talk football with you. Great to get back into doing this show. We plan to be on, I believe, every week. There may be another week off coming at some point. Folks, if you don't know, Voss is opening a new restaurant that'll be at, well, tell them about it.
Yes. You can follow the new restaurant at The Fiammata, T-H-E-F-I-A-M-A-T-A. And we're working to reopen a pre-existing restaurant, my partner and myself, and getting back into the business after about 10 years in the real estate business. Previously had a restaurant, so looking forward to it. But also really enjoying this show, Ken, and looking forward to another good season.
All right. Outstanding. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a Film City short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. You know the rules by now. And if you don't mind, you're out there and you're longtime listeners enjoying Friday Morning GM, please give us a 50-word positive review. Help drive some traffic to the show. We'd really appreciate it. For Voss Larikos, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next week on Friday Morning GM.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.